welcome to DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, teaching pastor at LifePoint in Westerville. This past Sunday, we continued in our series we're calling Labels, where we're talking about how the gospel calls us to live a life above labels. In the book of Luke, Jesus interacted with a lot of people who were on the fringes, Gentiles, sinners, things like that, people who are most likely to be labeled. We looked at this past week in Luke chapter 4, an interaction that Jesus had right after he was baptized. Remember, when he was baptized, he came up out of the water. The Holy Spirit had descended on him like a dove, and the voice of God, cried out, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Just after that, the Holy Spirit leads Jesus out into the desert, where he goes on a 40-day fast, which this would have been pretty extreme, as you can imagine. Jesus, even though he was God, he was fully man and fully God, so he felt all the things that you and I would feel. He's out there, he's tired, he's hungry, and the devil himself comes to him and starts to tempt him. Luke records three different ways he tempts him. I'm going to share one of those with you now. It says in Luke 4, verse 5, it says, "The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, 'I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" In all of the temptations that happened, the devil had basically appealed to some area where Jesus was weak. He was struggling. He was tired. And at that moment when he's tempting Jesus, I'm sure that there was a part of him that this would have appealed to him in that moment, but he refused to give in. And in each time the enemy tempted him, Jesus would refer to the word of God. In each case, it was from Deuteronomy. But in this particular case, here's what Satan is saying to him. And I'm not sure exactly how he did this, if this was a vision or he played a movie screen or it's unclear exactly how it happened. But he takes Jesus, who's tired, who's hungry, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, "Look, this can all be yours. I'm allowed to give it to whomever I want, and I can give it to you." So in essence, he's offering Jesus the nations. You know, and isn't that what the gospel calls us to do, is to take the name of Jesus to the nations, that we want, you know, all the nations to come to him, and one day that every tribe and every tongue would worship with Jesus. And the enemy is offering that very thing to him right then and there. The only caveat is he simply has to bow down and worship Satan. Now, you might think, well, that's stupid, because in Psalms, it literally says, "Ask and I'll give the nations to you." Jesus already promised the nations, so why would this be an issue? Why would this be an attempt on his life? Why would that appeal to him? Well, what Satan is doing there is he's offering Jesus the nations without the cross. That whatever Jesus knows is facing him, when it comes to the cross, when it comes to what's going to happen on the cross, the agony, the torture, the death, the separation from his Father on the moment where sin is placed on him. I mean, all of that stuff can be bypassed, and he could literally have it now. Get the nations now without the cross. So what does Jesus do? He doesn't enter into an argument with the enemy. He doesn't justify. He doesn't do any of that. He simply says, "It is written. Worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you worship." I think that there's a lesson here for all of us. The first thing is that the enemy is going to tempt us in ways that appeal to us, that might even seem rational. And it's definitely going to be easier. He's always going to offer us something now rather than having to wait on it. He's always going to make it seem easier than what we need to do in order to attain the thing that we desire. But I think Jesus answered with the word of God, and that's why the word of God has to be so in us, that we have to trust in what God has said, trust in the truth. You see, there's a promise with the truth of God that when we follow God, he will be there to bless us. He will be there and to enter into those moments with us. If Jesus had gone on to that temptation and given in, there'd be no cross, which means there's no salvation. Satan wasn't quick to tell him that part. He simply wanted to say, "Hey, look, you can have the nations," but He didn't tell him the rest. And isn't that how the enemy works in our life? He never tells us the other end of what the sin temptation is. Lord, I pray that you protect us from sin. Lord, you say to cry out to the Father to lead us not into temptation and delivers from evil. Lord, I pray that you would do that very thing. You would protect us from the enemy, protect us from the temptation. But God, I pray that the word would be so deep in us that we would simply trust in your word and not enter into arguments with the enemy. God, give us your peace and your truth in our minds and hearts. We ask that in your son's name. Amen. Well, just before you move on to the next thing, think about ways in which the enemy has been trying to strike at you and trying to tempt you into things and talk you into things that you know wouldn't be true. And just take a second and talk to God about those before you move on to the next thing. Till next time, God bless.